But the last few weeks we've been talking about the life, our understanding of some of the events that took place in the life of the Heilige Rebbe, the Holy Rebbe, Rav Mordechai Yosef Mishbitzer. And now I'm going to concentrate on some major themes in his writings. The Sefer of the Mishbitzer, the Me'ah Shiloach, it's one of the most difficult Chassidish Sfarim, the Me'ah Shiloach. There's even a warning from the Mishpacha, from the family, that only people who are used to hearing the teachings of the Mishbitzer are really permitted to look in this Sfarim. So we're going to take a few of the least sensational pieces, because there are certain teachings in the Mishbitzer that are very, very difficult and could cause confusion for beginners like ourselves. So we're going to learn a few of the Torahs of the Mishbitzer for the next three weeks or so, and then we'll probably learn some of the teachings of his son, grandson, and then we'll go on, Mitzvah Shem, to a different tzaddik, to talk about a different tzaddik. The first subject that we're going to deal with is the subject that's called in the writings of the Mishbitzer, Chisaron and Birur. Chisaron means a lack of something, an absence of something. Birur means a clarification or a correction. Clarification, correction. Basically, what this means is that every person is born with a certain chisaron. Every person is born with a certain thing missing, with a certain disadvantage. And this chisaron the person is born with is his life's mission to fulfill, to complete. This is why he was brought into this world, to fill this chisaron. The process of redemption for each person, the process of redemption for each person in this world lies in the person's recognizing what the chisaron is, what is that hole in my life, to recognize what the chisaron is, and to correct this deficiency, to recognize the chisaron and to correct it. And we'll see that there are signs, there are ways of recognizing the chisaron. And all of a person's avodas Hashem, all of a person's service of God revolves around that chisaron. The greatness of that person depends on the correction of the chisaron. If that person is to, God forbid, fail, that person is to drift far away from Hashem, it's because of that chisaron. There's a major theme in the writings of the Mishbitzer, and he has a very original approach to the whole subject. We'll begin with in Parshas Vayetze, Shem HaGadol Leah v'Shem HaKtana Rachel. We're going to learn a few pieces inside. If you have the first page there, it says Parshas Vayetze, Yud Beis, page Yud Beis. Well, the pages are numbered. So Shem, on the very last piece on that page, Shem HaGadol Leah v'Shem HaKtana Rachel. So the name of the oldest daughter was Leah, and the name of the younger daughter was Rachel. Now, the writing that you see is not my own. That's the writing that, when it was published together with some notes of one of the Rebbe's descendants. So the handwritten notes here are notes of from the family. Shem Gadol Leah v'Shem HaKtana Rachel. Isa b'Medrash, it says in the Medrash Kehelas, Shlosha Shemos Yesh La'Adam. A person has three names. Shlosha Shemos Yesh La'Adam. Echad, Shekarulo Avivimo. There is one name that was given to him by his parents. His father and mother gave him that name. The Echad Shekarulo Acherim. And there is a name that he is referred to by other people. The Echad Mashekonulo Atzmo. And there's a third name, which the person has acquired for himself. Now, everybody knows that in Torah, the name of something is its essence. The name of something is its essence. The shame defines the reality of who that person is, of all the potential, of all the difficulties and all the advantages and greatness that the person is capable of. It's all there in the name. Basher hu sham. The shame tells you where the person is. The shame tells you hu sham, where he is. That's what the name is. So Bir HaInyan, so the Ishbitza explains, Masha Karinlo, next page, Masha Karinlo, Avivimo, what is the name that's given to him by his parents? What does it mean? He's called a name by his parents. Other people call him a name, and he acquires for himself a name. So the name that his parents call him, Avivimo, Hainu Masha Nikar, Bitsura Savlad, Miyad Kishuhu Nolad, Mayihiye. This is something which is recognized. The moment that the baby is born, it is able to detect, to see, mayiyeh, the qualities, the characteristics of that child, of that person. Chochem, will he be wise? Tipesh, foolish. Otze, lazy, azoriz, or somebody that's enthusiastic. V'chadome. Ki bedoris harishonim, hoye zosa chochma mifureshes pe'enei kol. In the earlier generations, this chochma of being able to look at a person, to look at a baby, and to be able to tell the basic midos, the basic characteristics of that person, this was something which was very widespread in the earlier days. We were just talking about this on Shabbos, somebody asked me about the Kiddush. It's an interesting thing how you see that we name our children after previous, generally we name them after mishpacha, after, or names that already have been in the world. Sometimes people try to, you know, come up with a new name, but for the most part, we're naming after other people in the mishpacha. Or tzaddikim. In the old days, this was something that wasn't done. When you look in Torah, when you look in Tanakh, they were naming the children after events that were taking place, or that after things that were going to take place, right? And at what point exactly did we begin to call our children? When did we begin to become afraid that we no longer had this power of identifying the nature? Or things that were going to unfold somehow in the future, and we began to name after the Babis and Zaydis, it's not clear exactly when. But in earlier generations, children were given names that were basically a prediction of what was going to be in their lives. The way able to look at the face of the child, and to know what were the basic characteristics of the child. V'zegam ken shohaya lovan korei lebnosav shemos kefi shohaya makir b'tivam shal kolachas. And even lovan. Now you can't, it's hard to find a tzaddik who can recognize the midos by looking at the child. But then even lovan gave names to his daughters, gave names to Leah and Rachel, kefi shohaya makir b'tivam, as he recognized in their nature by looking at them, Shakolacha, Shem Rachel, what does the name Rachel mean? Shem Rachel Moira, Shaochezes Kinov and Itzachon Beliba. The name of Rachel indicates the essence of Rachel is the one who is able to contain within her heart Kinna, jealousy, and Itzachon, the quality of being jealous. It doesn't mean, God forbid, in a boy that's not appropriate, it means l'shem shemaim. But kinna and nitzachon. Nitzachon meaning the koach, or the desire of the heart to be victorious. To be victorious. Veina motziya bisvaseha. But she will not mention, she will not say anything. Chazal tells in Bava Basra that Rochel Imenu had an astounding power of shtika, of silence. We see that when she knew the password, She didn't reveal the password that in order not to embarrass her sister Leah on the night of the wedding, when Leah was placed before her, and she could have said the word, and she would have been able to correct the situation. So Chazal tells in the Gemara that Rachel had an incredible power of shtik, of silence, which doesn't mean the silence that we're talking about is not the silence of a person who has nothing to say. This is kind of grace of chachma. I mean, it's a chachma then also, really. A lot of people have nothing to say and they talk. But Rachel Imenu has a lot to say. In other words, her heart is exploding with kinna, with nitzachon, with a jealousy, but again, a rivalry. It's better than jealousy. Jealousy is already a negative, but a rivalry and the desire to be menatzeach, to be victorious. She has within her the koach of Yosef HaTzadik, the koach of Binyamin HaTzadik. There's all within Rachel's heart, but Rachel remains silent. Rachel is silent. So what does that name have to do with silence? What does it have to do with some, with a containment? With containment and silence. So he says, Shem Rachel Marishal Cheskinim Nitzachim Beliba, Vayna Metziah B'svah, says she doesn't say, she doesn't utter what's in her heart with her lips. K'mon Shekosev, it says in Yishayahu, Uche Rachel Lifnei goes Zeha Ne'elama. The Jewish people are compared to a sheep before her shearers, the ones who are shearing the sheep. And the sheep remain silent. In other words, to know that you're being hurt, to know that something horrible is happening, and to be able to contain yourself, to be able to be silent, that's in the name Rachel. The word Rachel means a sheep. So the pasuk says, "Ki Rachel lifnei gozezeha ne'elama v'lo yiftach piv." That's the pasuk. Ne'elama v'lo yiftach piv. That's why her child's name is Binyamin, and Binyamin, the stone for the Binyamin. I've spoken about this in the past, that the stone for Binyamin on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol was the Yashveh, which is translated as a jasper. Yashveh, Chazal tells, means Yesh Peh. He has a mouth, but he doesn't use it. Binyamin also, silent. The silence of Binyamin, that Binyamin knew what was going on with Yosef at Tzadik, according to Chazal, Binyamin knew what was happening with Yosef, being sold and so on. And yet, he was able to contain. He was able to contain that the knowledge that he had and the yearning that he had to reveal the secret. So Rachel is named Rachel because of the silence of the sheep being able to stand by, being sheared, being hurt, and to remain silent. So Lavan saw this already. When he saw Rachel, Lavan HaRasha, Lavan HaArami, Lavan, who was a wicked person, was able to see that this child has a koach of silence, of containment. V'haisa kinasa l'shem shemayim. And of course, her jealousy was for the sake of heaven. K'mashikosu v'tikoni Rachel b'achaisa. V'shem Leah. And what about the name Leah? Listen how beautiful this is. V'shem Leah, hilosho nil'a. Who knows, what does that mean, nil'a? Nun lamed alefei, what does that mean? Not hidden. Tired, exhausted, fatigued. It's a much deeper level than ayef. Nila means like you're on your list, you can't go on. Nila means fatigued, overwhelmed, tired. So he says that b'shem leah he loshon nila. Shai said tamid nila utzmeya li yeshuas Hashem yisbarach. Which means that Leah was a person who had no one in the world to defend her, who had no one in the world to help her, to protect her. She was always tired and thirsty for the salvation of God alone. Meaning she went through this world without any koiches of her own, feeling completely, completely overwhelmed, not having anybody to turn to, feeling that she was despised by her husband, according to, of course, what that means to be despised. That doesn't mean, God forbid, the way we understand hatred. And she had no one. She was nila. She was tired for God's salvation. She was longing and waiting for God's salvation. The name Leah. Also, the Leah, of course, according to Kabbalah, according to the Zohar, Leah is mi'almadis kasyas, from the world of concealment. Therefore, her name Leah is the letters Ohel, which means a tent. Tent always means concealment, means hiddenness. Like when Sarah, where is Sarah? But Ohel. The Ohel means concealment. So Leah Imenu is in the Maros Machpelah. Leah Imenu is the power of longing, of hiddenness, of concealment, of waiting for the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the whole union of David HaMelech and Mashiach Tzidkenu is all contained within Leah. B'shem Leah Hiloshin Nila Shaisa Tom Nila V'tzmei Lishuas HaShem Yisbarach. Okay, so this is the name So far the Yishbitz has told us that, remember, there are three names that a person is given: by the parents, by other people, and by oneself. So what is the meaning of the name that is given by the parents, even now? But now we no longer understand it. We're no longer able to judge the child by looking at the face. It's sort of dropped into the mouths of the parents when they give the name, by the bris or by the Sefer Torah. So, but what does it mean, the shame, the name that the parents give the child? That means the basic characteristic traits of the child. Every human being is born with certain basic characteristics, with certain basic features. That in earlier days, they were able to tell by looking at the child. There's a certain teva that every child has. The Gemara says this. The Gemara talks about this. That it's already from the very beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, will be a tipesh, will be a chacham, or a tipesh, will be smart, will be foolish, and so on. Tzadik v'rosh lo kamar. It doesn't say that, Hashem doesn't say, doesn't show on the person's face either whether or not the person is going to be a tzaddik or whether the person is going to be righteous or wicked. That's completely a matter of choice of how you use your midos. In other words, you have a certain basic personality. You have certain basic characteristics. That's called the name that your parents give you. That has to do with your basic personality. What you make out of that personality. In other words, you could have a temper. And you could have a temper and you could become, you could become a tremendous tzaddik and oyved Hashem that serves God with great emotion and great feeling. Or God forbid, you could become a person that stands around screaming and yelling and insulting people, Chalila. But the basic teva, the basic nature of the child, that's called the name that the parents give. That's the first name. Now's the second name. Inyan Hashem Shekaren Lo B'nei Adam. Now what's the name that people give the person? It's all the same name. You're still Chaim Yankel all the time, of course. But the how people look at you, how they identify you. Inyan Hashem Shekaren Lo B'nei Adam Hainu Ma'ashiroen Asokov V'tivo B'mehu Mishtadel. How do people judge you? People don't judge you. They don't know who you are. Every one of us knows that we've been misjudged and we've been misunderstood and we have tinyus and we have all kinds. We can each write like volumes and volumes about how we've been misunderstood by parents and by friends and by teachers. And we've been misunderstood. How do people understand us? What's the name that other people call us by? Well, they see what we're mishtadal in. In other words, they look at us. People look at us and see what is it that we're preoccupied with. As you can say to everybody, I want to tell you something. The deepest longing and yearning of my heart is to be a Talmud Chacham, to be a Torah scholar. So the person can say, why do you play golf all the time? So you could tell the person until you're blue. I'm telling you, the essence of who I am is to study Torah, to be a scholar. But that's not how people look at you. People will identify you by what you're mishtadal in. They see what you put your time into and what your ASIC is. No, what your geschäft is. What do you do in the world? And by what you're doing in the world and what seems to be your hishtadlus, they'll pretty much come to the conclusion, that's who you are. That's who you are. And we've made wrong conclusions ourselves. You'll see someone you'll think is a clown. The person tells jokes. You think the person's not serious. And the person gets a certain kind of a label as being a clown. And that's not the mahus necessarily. That's not the character. That doesn't tell you who the person is, be'etzim in essence. So the name that other people give you is how people identify you based upon what you're doing. And they'll assume that you have a certain nature. Well, because this person does this, that must be his nature. But the most important, of course, is the third name. The name that Chazal say that a person is koinil atzmai. The name that a person acquires for himself. The name that a person acquires for himself. V'shem shekoine la'atzmai, what's the meaning of that? The name that one acquires for himself. Hainu ma'ashe mesakein umerape hachisorin shelo. Here it is. The only true name that you acquire for yourself, which was the tachlis of your life, because even your parents were only able to identify your predisposition, your personality, your characteristics. Your parents were able, either with the power of intellect they were able to, or the Ruach HaKodesh, or Hashem just put into their mouths. But all your parents ever labeled you with was with a name that was saying what your kochos were. It was your certain predisposition that you had. That they were able to see, or Hashem put in their mouths. Other people make mistakes all the time. By what you're doing, they don't know who you are. Now, the name that you acquire for yourself, that's when the person, if the person, and when the person is successful in healing the chisaron shelo, the special, unique chisaron, that special chisaron, that something within you that was missing from the beginning. I mean, we're going to learn through this entire sugya much more to understand what the chisaron is. But when a person is misakin, he repairs, he rectifies, and heals the chisaron shelo. Afilo hachisaron shenitba bo miyom hivaldo. We'll talk more about this. That not only does it mean on two levels. First of all, it means correcting. Poshim means to correcting things with your yetzahara. Correct things that all people have to correct. On one level, it means to correct your problems, to correct your chisronus. Everybody has many chisronus. But then the Rebbe says we're talking about the chisaron. Because each person has one unique chisaron, something lacking, a certain deficiency. And when do you acquire a name for yourself? Only when you are misakim that deficiency with which you were created. You fill that emptiness of your life, that void with which you were created. When Hashem created the world, He created the world for a human being to finish, right? He left the world incomplete. Just like Hashem created the physical universe in a way that was incomplete, and there are deserts and there's sickness and so on, for human beings to be mishtadl to try to complete. Each human being, befrat, individually, is created with a certain deficiency. And that chisaron is affecting you all of the time. Everything you do and think, wherever you go, and everything is revolving around that chisaron. And you are acquiring a shame when you complete, when you fill in the missing hole. That's why I spoke about it on Shabbos 2 weeks ago. In the morning, we were talking about the custom is brought down from the Shalah HaKadosh. To read a pasuk at the end of Shemoneh Esrei that has the first and last letter of your name, right? It's in almost all the siddurim, and the largest siddurim, and the good siddurs, you'll have there that everybody has a pasuk. The first and last letter, a pasuk is used for your name. So the Shalach Kodesh wrote that if a person says the pasuk, then ulai, maybe you'll remember, it'll help you to remember your name when you come to the next world. So what's the problem with remembering your name when you come to the next world? So what I spoke about on Shabbos, based upon a Chassam Sofer, is that each person has a particular shlichus, a particular job, something. That's the chisaron that we're talking about here. That thing that you have to fix in life, your problem in life, that you have to fix, and God made you a shliach, a messenger into the world to fix that, and He gave you the ability to fix that chisaron. And every person is a shliach, is a messenger of the master of the world. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mishaleach, is the one who is sending you, you have enormous strength. Because there's a din, what? Shlucha Shel Adam? Kemoso. That the messenger has within him the power of the one who is sending him. So God has given you a name. And your name, your Jewish name, obviously, your real name, your name has in it the Shlichus. Your name has in it your role. Your name contains within it the chisaron and the tikkun. That which is missing and the way that it can be fixed, it's all within your name. That's why I thought that perhaps that's why with the miraglim who were spies, who were messengers, and you remember I spoke about this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, if they're going to go, let them at least be messengers of Moshe Rabbeinu. Let them be my messengers, that they should have a good mishaleach, someone good that's sending them, right? But instead, the spies went as the shluchim, as the messengers of the Jewish people, who at that time were in a very low state of mind, terrible state of mind. So they went as shlichim from the wrong ones. Therefore, in order to try to help them, what does the Torah do right after they're given the job to go? He says, Ve'ela Shemosam. The Torah gives their names. The Torah says over their names, each one, because the name has in it the chisaron and the tikkun, that which is missing and the way that it can be fixed. That's miyom hilvaldo, from the day that the child is born. Vizeh perish ha-posik, that's the meaning of the posik in Mishlei. Refoz tiyel l'saracho, hainu l'chisaron, that every person has the power to fix, to heal that which is wrong. That doesn't mean that every Jew was created to be a doctor. It means that every Jew was created with the ability to heal himself, to bring a refuah to oneself. To that chisaron that's there from birth. It says in the Gemara, Shetchilas yitzirasai shel adam hu mitiburo. These are one of the Gemaras that if you read it on a simple level, it sounds strange. That the beginning of the formation of a child is from the pupik. From the, The navel, yeah. From the pupik. Everybody knows what a pupik is. So that's from there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the person. Inside the mother's womb, the Gemara says that the tchilas yitziroso, from where does the child begin to form and take shape, it's from the pupik. What's the Gemara telling us such a thing? Shetchilas yitziros shel adam umitiburo. What does that mean? The Ishbitzer doesn't spell things out. He wrote very, very short. That's why we have from his son, the Beis Yaakov, thousands of pages. And it's all a commentary on these few words that we have from the Me'ah Shiloah. What does that mean? Where's that a place to begin the creation of a child as mitiburo? From the pupik. Say it's the pupik. So maybe the next pasuk will give it away, what he brings. And this will pick up, and we'll talk more in Mitzvah Shem next time, when he's an unbelievable piece from Parshas Vayelech. V'zeh shom Yishai Hanavi, u'poshe'a mi'beten kairilach. Says in the Novi Yeshaya, a pasuk that doesn't sound Jewish. It says that the child is called a posheya. What's a posheya? Posheya is a sinner, an evildoer. Mibeten, from the mother's womb. Huh? That doesn't sound Jewish. That the child is a posheya, from the mother's womb. It says in the Novi. Huh? And posheya, you know, means bemazed, right? It sounds like something that's not from our religion.
Yeah.
Yudaticha. Right. So there's a certain, there's a koach that's there. Right. Yirmiyahu didn't want to go, he didn't want to be a shliach, right? That was the whole thing. That's exactly what we're talking about. Yirmiyahu, the Novi Yirmiyahu, did not want to be a shliach. He tainted, I'm not able to. So the Baruch Shalom says, Tari mitzatach bebetin yudaticha. Yidaticha, that before I formed you in the womb, I already knew you. So there's that you're supposed to be a Novi, this is your shlichus. From the time that your soul was created, I have you ready for a certain shlichus, right? I have you ready for this job. But on the other hand, the Novi Yeshaya, it's interesting here because the difference between Yirmiyahu and Yeshayahu is the time of the year, of course, to talk about these things. We're coming now to the 3 weeks. Yeshayahu is the Novi of salvation. Even though there are nevuas of Peronius, there are nevuas that are difficult in Yeshayahu, but the name Yeshayahu comes from the word what? Yeshua, salvation. Yirmiyahu is the Novi of Peronius. His name comes from what word? Mar, bitterness, merirus. So the Novi Yeshayahu tells us that a child is somehow a poshea mibeten, that from the mother's womb the child is a poshea, that there's something missing from the child. That's the meaning of the Gemara, that the formation of the child is from the pupik, from the navel. Why? Because that means that from that point of connection with the mother, right? From the very beginning, the child is held to the mother through the umbilical cord, right? And from what I remember hearing, the umbilical cord is connected to the pupik, right? So, I mean, I'm not, biology is not my subject. So, that connection of the mother to the child, is through the place of the tiburo shel adam, through the navel. That's the nekuda sachibur. That's the point between the mother and the child. So the Gemara says such a line that you were created. The beginning of the formation of the child is from the tibur, mi tiburo shel adam. And we're going to see in the next piece that David Melch says bechet yechamas ni'imi, that David Melch was crying that I was conceived in impurity. I was conceived in impurity. And even though his parents were holy people, because it's impossible for a person not to have, it's impossible for there to be completely, completely pure thoughts at the time that the child is conceived. So there's a certain deficiency that the child has, that's from the very beginning, that it was sort of infused into the child, from the mother herself, from the mother herself, that the child is born with something, with a certain chisaron, that is related to the relationship between the parents, b'shas ha'maisa, at that time of conception. Ad kidei kach, that the Navi Yeshayahu says, Pashem u'pashem yibetin karel. Alken godl ma'ashakoyne, alken godl ma'ashakoyne hula atzmo. That's the name. That's when you acquire a name. The name was given to you by your parents. You have a certain teva, you have certain characteristics. There are others who called you by your name. And they didn't understand you. They called you by things that you were doing. They misunderstood you. But you can acquire a name. And the shame that you acquire, which is contained in your name, your Jewish name, the shame that you acquire is only when you are misakein, when you actually fix that deficiency with which you were born. When you fix it, when you repair that chisaron, and we're going to see how you find out what your chisaron is, he talks about it. When you repair that chisaron, you acquire a name. Because the word shame means the shoresh achayim, means the source of life, means the very essence of who you are. Shekol ha-nefesh hu medugal bo. The nefesh of a person is enshrined, is armed with that
shame. Everybody already had a name. We look through the book and we come upon some name that we particularly like. So, you know, you give her the name, you give the child the name. But so it seems completely arbitrary, but lemaise it's not. How a gear fits into this is that's a very, very complicated thing, how the gear fits into this whole thing. So we'll have to hold that further in our discussion. There'll be allusions to gears. A gear is a very complicated situation. I mean, we've had kids in my school that, you know, we've given names to. Every year we have a few kids that never had a Jewish name. Kids that come from Russia, a lot of them that didn't have a Jewish name. The kids that are from non-religious families, they never had a Jewish name. I'll ask the kid, you know, is there a name that strikes you? Is there a name that appeals to you? And it's interesting that almost every kid over the years that I've asked will have right away a certain name. A girl will say, this happened just a few weeks ago. That I said, is there a name? There's a girl from Russia. I said, is there a name that appeals to you? She says, Nechama. She loves it. She says, I love the name Nechama. I always wanted to be Nechama. I love the name Nechama. So it's good. Nechama. And this is a b'china of Ruach HaKodesh. It's a very deep thing. It's a very deep thing. That's why there are people that they would dafka go to a tzaddik. Before they name the child, they would go to a tzaddik to ask the tzaddik whether he approves of the name. It's good to do that. It was a custom. It was a very common thing in Europe. Everybody did it. To go to a tzaddik, to go to a rabbi, to ask to say this is the name, and it was to try that even if a tzaddik can give the name. Because that draws the neshama into the world. It's a very powerful thing. It's a very deep thing. So that's the tikkun of the chisaron in the name. But it's not arbitrary at all. It's not arbitrary at all. Now, turn to the next page. We're just going to start for 2 or 3 minutes. I have to get to a chasana. So we'll start in Vayelech. This is such a remarkable piece here. I went over it at least 20 times. I'm not sure I understand it, but as far as the subject that we're discussing is concerned, I think it'll shed a great amount of light on the Indian that we're talking about. This is talking about some background. I mean, that's, we'll have time to begin. This is talking about the last moments of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. The last couple of moments of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. And what the Rebbe of Mordechai Yosef is bothered by is how at the very end of his life, Moshe Rabbeinu reveals a mitzvah. The mitzvah is called Hakel. Now you remember what that means. It means by the Shemitah, by Sukkot, by Yontif, right? So it means that all the men, women, and children will gather in the Azor, by the Beis HaMikdash, and certain portions of the Torah are being read by the king, and so on. It's a very, very festive and wonderful thing. That's called the Hakel. So this is like the last thing that Moshe Rabbeinu, one of the last things that Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about on the last day of his life, is the mitzvah of Hakel. Vayelach Moshe ve'yidarbes ha'dvarim ha'ela. So everybody's asking, where was Moshe Rabbeinu going? It says Moshe Rabbeinu went and he spoke these words. So where's he going? He has no place to go. So the Rebbe says, Halicha hu lashon tirda. What does that mean? Halicha hu lashon tirda. What does tirda mean? Being burdened. Being worried. In other words, the last day, the final day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, on the final day we find him in a certain state of anxiety. Vayelach means he's pacing. I mean, even the picture, Moshe Rabbeinu is pacing. He's pacing. He's walking. He's not going anywhere. You know how sometimes when you know when you're not calm, you know when you have when you're nervous, even though you're sitting in one place. Yeah, that's why Rabbi Nachman says that when you become nervous, you start to perspire. That's an amazing thing. Why would you stop? You're not running. When a person runs, you perspire. We understand why you perspire when you run. There are reasons for that. But when you're nervous, you're getting very nervous, you start to schwitz. So Rabbi Nachman says, because even though the person is stationary, if his thoughts are rushing, since the essence of a person is machshav, his thoughts, if your thoughts are in movement, you'll perspire. So it's true. It's true. If your thoughts are moving, vayelech, back and forth, you'll perspire. So the picture that the Ishbitz is painting here at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life is all the Mefarshim are saying Vayelach, and the Chazals come up with an idea, what does Vayelach mean? And the Ishbitz says Vayelach means that Be'etzim and who he was pacing. There was an anxiety in the last day of his life. And what was the anxiety? Let's just read the problem. Ki hayakosha be'enav, eich yuchal ha'odem l'saken ha'chisorin ha'mutba b'shorshom yom hivaldo mitzad av ve'em. What was Moshe Rabbeinu thinking about the last day of his life? The last day of his life, he was thinking, I probably was never misaking. Here I am, it's the last day of my life, and I never was able to come to the shorish, to the very depths and the root of my problem. There was something impure that I started off life with an impurity because of my parents' intentions, even though, of course, his parents were tzaddikim, but my parents' intentions because they had physical intentions when I was conceived. So Moshe Rabbeinu's anxiety on the day of his death is, Sof Kol Sof, here it is, it's my last day. Did I come to the Shoresh? Did I fix? Did I acquire a name? Was I able to acquire my name? Was I able to fix? Was I able to repair? Did I do it? Did I accomplish it? Now, I'm going to have to leave, but what he says here, what he's going to tell us is that the mitzvah of Hakel was a reassurance to him that he did succeed. And that's what the whole mitzvah of Hakel is about. How that works exactly, so we'll have to hold on to Mitzvah Hashem to next week. But this is the chisorin that's there from the very beginning, that's connected to the way which the person was conceived. The Bezer Hashem should be zoyach to fill all the chesroin, to be mevarit, to clarify, rectify all that's missing. But before, I just want to mention,